Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Google has released an AI toolkit for the Raspberry Pi. Thanks to new regulations, cell phone unlocking is now free in Canada. A ridiculously dangerous bug in macOS was fixed quickly, but unfortunately comes right back after a software update. And Facebook Messenger is coming to preteens. Should parents be concerned? These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Google has announced the AIY Vision Kit, opening up a new way for Raspberry Pi users to access its AI tools. The kit comprises a low-power Intel Movidius MA2450 circuit board and computer vision software that can be connected onto an existing Raspberry Pi computer and camera modules. This circuit board provides the ability to run neural networks on the device rather than having to add on an external source for the processing the data or using a cloud processing system. The software includes access to three neural network models, one to recognize objects, one to recognize faces and human facial expressions, and a third that can identify the difference between a human, a cat, and a dog. Google said its AIY Vision Kit could be used for a whole range of applications, including identifying plants and the individual species, monitoring where your dog is in your home, seeing when your car left the driveway, and recognizing emotion, for example, whether your guests like your home decor. This is the second product released in the AIY line by Google. Its AIY voice kit was released in May and enables Raspberry Pi developers to build a standalone voice recognition system using Google Assistant. Users can also add their own voice recognition and natural language processing to projects. So, meh, that's good. I like it.
Sounds cool. Now, first of all, I'm kind of giggling over here because I hate to grammar police my own newsroom.
What I do?
No, you didn't do anything. But we said in the story that it will recognize humans, cats, and dogs. And I thought immediately of it looking at a plant and thinking, what on earth is that?
That is true.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Could you imagine, though, being able to create your own artificial intelligence based on this?
Right.
So we've got Raspberry Pi. We've got all the, you know, technology available at our fingertips at an affordable price.
But see, the one thing about this story that I'm struggling with a little bit is the fact that it's about recognizing emotions.
In humans.
Is this not like a privacy violation? Like if somebody comes over to your house, it's like, hey, come on over for coffee. And they come over and they're like, oh, I love your walls. Suddenly your Raspberry Pi programmed AI.
Liar.
You know, it's now like listening to your conversation and creating a bit of a profile of what's like, is that a violating privacy?
It's a toolkit though.
I feel like not really. Isn't your phone always listening to you anyhow?
I firmly believe it.
Could it now, just to put a medical helpful cool idea use for technology, could it help someone with Asperger's if that was the case?
I mean,
just putting that out there.
Truthfully, it could help with a myriad of different health problems in the fact that now it's watching. If it can watch where your dog is in the house, it can watch where your elderly parent is in the house. If they have, you know, Alzheimer's and they wander, you know.
Right.
So,
but backing up again, remember, this is a toolkit. So this is something that we can develop our own technology based on the toolkit that's made available. So now I can create my own robot that can kind of, you know, interact with me and my kids.
Could you create a lie detector?
Yeah, Maybe.
As well as, could I look you in the eyes and determine that you're lying? They say, what is it? If they look to the right or something like that?
Yeah, facial tells. But that's, yeah. Okay. But here's what suddenly I'm having this like brainwave. I feel like there needs to be a little light bulb graphic above my head. We should like do this as a project on a show and have the AI just listen to our shows every week to start developing as an assistant for us.
What a great
idea.
There
you go.
Just to see how it turns out.
I sense from Robbie's emotions that he would like another coffee.
Or the next news story.
Right. Wow. Effective immediately, cell phone unlocking is now free in Canada. Prior to this, carriers such as Rogers, TELUS, and Bell could charge you $50 to unlock your phone. That's no longer the case. On top of that, devices must also be sold unlocked as well. So, why should you care? It's simple. If your device is unlocked, you can take it to any carrier and get service for it, which means if your current carrier isn't meeting your needs, is too expensive, or has horrible customer service, you can go elsewhere easier. On top of that, you can switch phones at will without being forced into a new plan. The change also means that when you go overseas, you can use a local SIM card at a much lower price rather than being charged, be charged by your cell phone carrier for expensive roaming services. All of this is great for the consumer, but likely bad news for cell phone providers, as they will now have to up their game if they want to retain customers.
I love this.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because for the longest time, my wife and I were subscribers to a certain cell phone provider, and their customer service suddenly became incredibly crappy. So we went to switch. Thankfully for my wife, she was at the end of her contract. She could just sign up for a new one. I had just signed a contract 6 months earlier. So it cost me $50 to get out.
Right.
And I was like, yeah.
That's a whole other can of worms when you start looking at contracts. But what? Here's the thing, Jeff. What got you into that contract? The new phone.
It was the new phone.
The new phone.
But see, if it was unlocked, I wouldn't need a contract.
Right.
Because I could just find that phone already unlocked, maybe online or something, and then just go to my carrier and be like, hey, I would like to sign up. Like, this potentially could result in a lot of people not doing contracts because they already have an unlocked phone.
I'll give you an example of how this benefits someone like myself.
Okay.
So I have my phone.
Yes, you do.
Which I unlocked. So I bought the unlock code for this phone because at that time it was not free. It was commercial.
Yep.
And then I unlocked it myself. So I can do that, or I could go to my service provider and have them do it and pay them to do it. They do it so that you'll switch to them with a phone from a competitor, right?
Yes.
So in my case, I've unlocked this phone and I buy a pay-as-you-go service because I don't use my cell phone like at all. It's for emergencies and for like if the alarm goes off kind of thing.
Right.
So that's just me. So I use Magic Jack at home. So I've got like I can call anywhere in the world for free kind of thing, at least North America. So with this, I've got like such cheap service. It's $6.25 a month.
Right.
And it gives me everything that I need because I only use Wi-Fi and phone service. So I'm not cheap. I'm just frugal.
Right.
And then when I go to the cottage, so this happens, you know, I go to the cottage and we want internet service. Well, my $6.25 service does not have internet for me. So what I do is I take the SIM card out and I go down to the local ISP and I get a pay-as-you-go internet
service.
Okay, right. Because you couldn't do that if it was locked.
That's right. Different provider, right? So then they sell me that. It's $10 for the chip. For the SIM card.
Right.
I pop it in here. Now, if I had a dual SIM phone, I could just have it in at all times and just use it whenever I need it. But then pop it in, and I've got LTE internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dave and I have an unlock phone we bring to Jamaica. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Right? Yes.
It makes sense.
And do you buy a SIM card while you're there? Or
yes,
do you buy
we
like
buy a SIM card in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, many people do that. And now it'll just be easier. We had to pay to unlock the phone as well. But now, now they have to for free, which actually will up everybody's game, I think, for customer service.
So, yeah.
Because now that'll be how you win customers.
Wouldn't it be neat if we lived in a world where you had to provide good customer service in order to get customers?
I will say my cell phone company, which I will not name, but controversially, like, most people don't like them, and I love them. They give me great service. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't switch from them even if I had the freedom to, which I don't because I'm locked into a contract.
I think with any cell phone company, you're going to have those who love it and those who hate it because they're huge, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, here in Canada, we've got like Rogers, Bell, TELUS.
Plus all their
subsidiaries. Maybe you could say Fido's like Rogers, and you know, you've got all this kind of stuff going on. But realistically, there are only a couple of major providers. So
and pretty much, I think Bell and Rogers own most of the towers. Mm-hmm. Even the subsidiaries have to pay rental fees and stuff. I'm hoping that in the end, this somehow drops the price of cell phone plans because of the competition aspect, because they are unlocked. Because, like, I just got a text today about my cell phone. My wife and I, $218 for the month. And that's no overages. Like,
yeah.
I wonder, though, you'll have to buy your phone outright, right? That's the way it's going to work.
Now, we were with a particular provider, and we were with them for a few years, and we weren't generally happy with the service because at the cottage there was no signal and this kind of stuff.
Right.
But they did have a rewards program. So with that rewards program, at the end of our contract, we said, okay, what are our options? Now we have all these reward points. We could buy a new phone with no new contract. So we bought a new LG phone using our points. I think we had to pay like a $25 service fee for the, like, just to, they have to charge something kind of thing.
Like the hookup.
Yeah. I didn't even get the hookup. I just bought the phone, and it would cost me $25 for a $200 phone. So I used my points and I got it. And then I bought the unlock code. Right. I unlocked it and I put it on pay as you go.
That's perfect.
So imagine if you could use those points at a provider who cannot lock that phone. And so you get it unlocked anyways. So now it's just, it gives the consumer an unbelievable amount of freedom that we can now we as the users can choose, you know, what phone we use, where we use it. I can buy a Show Me phone if I want to, and I can use it on any of my providers, and, you know, or I can buy the one that the provider's selling if they've got a promotion.
They've
got to be more competitive now.
This is a Canadian story in that this is new to Canada. Are we ahead of or behind the rest of the countries? Do most countries offer unlocking for free or discounted price?
Good question, yeah.
It'll be interesting to find out.
Comment below.
Well, Foo's just saying in the chat that the rules changed in Chile in October.
What about the U.S. and Australia. Overseas?
Yeah.
Australia has this issue with the cockatoos.
I know. I'm never going to forget that. Every time I see a bird, I'm like,
That was a great story.
Yeah. So let us know. Yeah, we'd be interested. Comment below, or if you're watching live, you can comment on the feed right there in the IRC channel. What about your country? Are you having to pay to unlock your phone? And what kind of freedom does an unlocked phone give to you?
Now, a comment came in last week. Brittany Marie was asking about specifically a root security bug in Mac.
Jeff and I said we were going to talk about it.
Yeah, we never did.
And
we never did.
Here it is.
We're making good, buddy.
That's right. The serious and surprising root security bug in macOS High Sierra is back for some users shortly after Apple declared it fixed. The root bug discovered last week allows anyone to log in or authenticate as a system administrator on systems running macOS High Sierra. In many circumstances, all they need to do is simply type the username root and leave the password field blank. The bug is so serious that it drew an uncharacteristically strong apology from Apple, which said its customers deserve better. After Apple released a patch for the initial bug, some users quickly discovered that the security update caused file sharing functionality to break. Apple, in turn, released a new version of the security update that addressed that issue. Now, within just a few days, this initial wrinkle has been discovered. Users who had not installed macOS 10.13.1 and thus were running a prior version of the OS when they received the security update found that installing 10.13.1 resurfaced the bug.
Oh.
Yeah, and for these users, the security update can be installed again. In fact, it would be automatically installed at some point after updating to the new version of the operating system. However, the bug is not fixed in that case until the user reboots their computer. Many users do not reboot their computer for days or even weeks at a time, and Apple's support documentation did not at first inform users that they needed to reboot. So some people may have been left vulnerable without realizing it. The documentation has been updated with the reboot step now.
What is this, Windows?
I don't understand. I reboot my computer all the time. Like, I turn my
computer
off.
What operating system are you running?
Well, every single
operating system are you running?
I run Windows, but I run Linux here, and I run.
This doesn't work.
Okay, but the truth of the matter is, I always turn my computer off at the end of the day. Am I the only one who does that?
You're on Windows, Sasha. Well, I think Linux users, Mac users alike, we really are used to the fact that when we run updates, we do not have to generally reboot.
Right, yeah.
But even if you don't in that moment, don't you at the end of your usage period? Like, I feel like, doesn't it draw a lot of power just to have your computer just hanging out?
No, because I've got a 24-core dual CPU Xeon under my desk, and I've got it set to go into a suspended state when it's not in use. And when it's in that suspended state, it wakes on LAN and comes back with the movement of a mouse. So
yeah.
I don't ever have to turn off.
Why wouldn't you just turn it off?
Because then I got to wait for it to boot. And did I mention it is a 24-core dual CPU Xeon? The post alone takes a little while.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I just don't understand. I guess maybe just because it's me and I turn it off all the time. But
oh, sure.
Now, is Apple responsible because they didn't...
Yeah, let's get back on track because we're focusing on the wrong thing here. Sure. Kind of digressing about rebooting our computers. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Apple did not tell people to reboot their computer after. So they acknowledged the fact that there was a problem. They did release a fix. They did not give people the last step. Are they now responsible for anybody who had possibly...
Were they responsible originally for the very bug that made it so people could log into their computer by just typing root with no password? Like, again, is this Microsoft Windows? No, it's not. You would expect better security from Mac. And I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, and people are saying, oh, why are you knocking Windows? With Windows, if you hit Control-Alt-Delete, type in administrator, and hit enter, you will now be logged in as the administrator user.
Right.
So it's ridiculous.
See,
but that's how you can hack a computer.
I hear you ask the question, Sasha, like, is Apple responsible? Well, I guess to a certain degree, or maybe from a legal standpoint, the answer is yes. But I also feel like when it comes to computers, there should be a certain level of common sense. Like, you should always be aware. Like, it's a computer. It's not like it's a book. It's not like it's a, you know, a can opener. It's a computer. There's a whole whack of personal information on there. You should be thinking security-minded from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like that, I feel like to really be told, hey, you've done an update, you should probably restart your computer, should, for most people, I mean, unless, like Robbie said, you're on Linux, should just be common sense.
Yeah.
But Mac OS is a Unix-based OS as well. Unix derivative.
Yeah, but so, see, with my wife's computer, every time we do an update, and because she has a Mac, it says, you know, this is a pop-up that says, and I don't know what operating system she's on. I think it's Snow Leopard or something. I don't know. But I don't touch the thing. But she always gets a
Mac OS Snow Cone.
She always gets a pop-up that says, you know, it's recommended to restart the computer. And she does.
But right.
If she didn't get that pop-up, restart the computer?
I believe for my
Again,
wife, she would.
Somehow we're back at rebooting.
I know.
I don't think it's the user's fault that Mac OS made it so that someone can sit down at their computer and log in as root without a password. Of course, this is not really going to affect home users, really.
Right.
But unless you've got SSH open, but if you are in a corporate environment, a bunch of Macs, or maybe you're just the graphic designer and you sit in front of a Mac, and all of a sudden, you know, you come into work on a Monday and it says, I did some updates over the weekend, do you want to reboot? And you're like, no, I got to get to work, right?
Right.
And then Joe Schmo in the back finds out about this bug and comes up to your computer and logs in as root. And
well, but see, here's the thing. When Sasha was reading the story initially, I thought this was the workaround with Mac where you can go to the BIOS, I think it's called BIOS in Mac, and head to the to the terminal, and there's you can bring up a file, wipe out a line in the code, and that wipes out the passwords on your user accounts.
Sure.
Because I've had to do that on my wife's Mac. Something happened, the password didn't work, and she was locked out. And I spent 2 hours going, how do I get into this thing?
Yeah.
Finally, I looked up it up on a forum, and they're like, just do this, and you can bypass the security.
Nah.
That's what I thought this was.
This is different. So much more serious, because this is not CH rooting into an OS and going through all those steps where you've really got to be a pretty savvy user in order to do it. This is strictly typing in R-O-O-T, enter.
Enter.
Yeah. And now I have the ability to do anything on that computer.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a different case because we think about two different levels. There's a real hacker or a really good, savvy computer user and the script kiddie who just wants to cause damage and found a way to be able to get root access to somebody's Mac.
Right.
So if you have this version of the operating system as a default, you know, you buy your Mac, you get the
disk. He's going to say reboot.
No. Just be aware. Like maybe put a sticky note on your package that came with your computer so that if you ever have to do a factory reboot, you know that there's a vulnerability on that specific version of the operating system. Don't get caught in the future.
That's right.
Or just go to Linux.
Speaking of super savvy computer users, Facebook Messenger is coming to preteens. Strictly speaking, only those aged 13 and over are allowed to use Facebook. But the prevention methods are trivial, meaning more than 20 million under 13-year-olds are thought to be using the network. So on Monday, Facebook launched its first app tailored for young users. It's a ring-fenced network that needs parental approval before use and will not, the company has promised, be used to feed data for advertising. Messenger Kids is a simplified lockdown version of the messaging app that Facebook currently offers to those over 13. Lauren Cheng, product manager for Messenger Kids, said parents are increasingly allowing their children to use tablets and smartphones, but often have questions and concerns about how their kids use them and which apps are appropriate. If two children want to be friends on Messenger Kids, that friendship has to be approved by a parent for each child. Once confirmed to be safe, friends can do live video chat and send pictures and texts to each other. There will also be a library of kid-appropriate and specially chosen gifts, frames, stickers, masks, and drawing tools that lets them decorate content and express their personalities. Approved adults can also contact children through the app, but they will still get their messages through the normal Facebook Messenger app. Messenger Kids will, of course, collect data, the child's name, the content of the messages, and typical usage reports for how the app is used. Facebook will share that information with third parties, which must have data protection policies that comply with COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act in the U.S. Facebook has promised the data will not be used in any way to power grown-up Facebook. That's important. The obvious commercial benefit to this new app might be to target ads to parents based on what their kids are talking about, or use what was discussed in Messenger Kids to target ads at teens as they graduate into over 13 Facebook. Neither of these things will happen, Facebook said. That the app doesn't know specifically how old the children signing up are, so users will not be prompted to move onto Facebook when they are old enough. If a child does decide to join full Facebook, it will be a brand new account with no data carried over from what was said on Messenger Kids. As YouTube found out when videos with disturbing content found their way onto YouTube Kids, trying to make a child's safe space is difficult. A minority of people will always be looking for ways to get around protections. Messenger Kids is initially available in the U.S. on iOS and will later come to other platforms. Wow. I don't have kids, but I'll tell you, this seems sort of scary territory for me.
One, I want Messenger Kids because it sounds like then I'm not going to have to deal with all the ads. What's to stop me from signing up?
You need parental consent.
Dad?
Well, I was thinking as I was even saying that, what if it's siblings? Does it have to be separate parents that allow children?
I think it's got to be just a password protection or something like that. So again, what would stop me from signing up, right?
You probably as a parent, I'm guessing, would have to like sign some sort of a waiver or you know, scroll past the thing that you don't actually read and then click a box that says, yes, I'm the authorized guardian.
Mm.
Something like that. But
yeah.
So my kids are getting into messaging apps.
Right.
And so I have spent hours upon hours searching, researching Messenger apps. I'm looking for something that is going to have as minimal footprint on my kids as possible, because right. I don't want them becoming a marketing gimmick. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was listening, we were talking about podcasts, I think it was last week.
Yeah.
And I did listen to one podcast about a month and a half ago about Facebook's tracking algorithms. Their AI is so advanced that the creators of the AI for Facebook no longer understand what it does because it's surpassed their programming abilities with 57,000 categories. Like, if this is what Facebook does for the adult version, and they're saying, yes, we're going to collect all this information with the kids chat, but don't worry, we're not going to use... Yeah, I've just about said a bad word. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. What if it comes to UUIDs? Unique user ID. So maybe it doesn't transfer the data from the kids Facebook Messenger to the adult, but are you still going to recognize the unique user ID? Mm-hmm. Is there still going to be device recognition to go, oh, so we're not tracking it, but we also know that this profile was created on that phone and that phone now has an adult count, and boom, look at that. These two columns intersect. They've got the same name. Hey, guess what? We've now got to throw in all these categories.
Yeah, I think what's hard, too, is that we look at Facebook and they do not give anything away for free.
No.
It's a free service, but data is a currency.
Mm-hmm. I am not on board with this. I'm sorry, Zuckerberg. Don't trust you as far as I can throw you. I don't buy it. My kids will not use this.
It's a hard thing because when we were kids, we'd pick up the phone and we'd make a call. These days, messaging applications, FaceTime, things like that, are what kids are using to communicate. Texting is a big one. When we were kids, our parents could hear one side of the conversation. So at least there was a little bit of a... oh, what are they talking about? Kind of like censorship from the parents kind of thing going on. Oh, you know, you got to wrap up the call. Where nowadays it's so intimate between the two kids that you don't really know what's going on.
Right.
It doesn't mention anything really about parents being able to monitor.
That would be ideal. If there was like sort of, you could gift your child like a segment, like a kid segment of your account in that they can communicate with their friends and you oversee and make sure that everything that's going on is appropriate, right? And not scary. That would be okay with me.
Yeah, I would be okay with mom and dad being big brother.
Yeah.
Not
but
Facebook
not just like random
brother,
third parties. Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it.
Okay, Sasha.
Yeah.
You know how much I don't want your grandma to be replaced by that Gordon Ramsay robot kitchen?
Yeah.
I would rather see your grandma replaced by the Gordon Ramsay robot kitchen than let my kids use Facebook Messenger app.
I agree.
That's how passionate I am about this. The other
I can tell.
Okay. Facebook.
I've never gotten this fired up
on this side of
before.
My face.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But okay, here's the one thing that Facebook didn't talk about. They've got 27 different ad trackers that are built into various websites. So how is that data going to interact with the kids' messaging app if they're using it on a phone? There was nothing in the article about that saying we're not going to use the web ad trackers and how it's going to relate to the kids' messenger app. I think there's too many facets to this.
This is a conversation that is going to go on for a while.
I'm sorry. I'm like...
Comment below, folks. Let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear them.
Yeah,
it's a big topic.
We need all your questions, comments, thoughts, and concerns on this one. We know Jeff's. We now need to know yours.
That heavy panting into the microphone.
You know, at least I've got one supporter. I noticed on the little chat ticker box, the foo's like, Jeff's nailed it. So I've got one fan in a globe of 8 billion people.
No, I agree. I agree. I don't have kids, so I don't agree as passionately as you agree.
He's very passionate. And as the producer of the show, I am very thankful once again for our compressors.
Sorry.
I would like to thank Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.